This time I would like to thank God Almighty for giving me this opportunity to come in front of you and give a message on behalf of UNISECM and Youth Fellowship. I would also like to thank GOGHN and UNISECM leaders, especially Lynn, for providing me this opportunity again. So before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We thank you for the UNISECM and the Youth Fellowship. We thank you for the ministry which is catering to so many of the people in this church, Lord. As we celebrate this day, Lord, and we look into your word, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will give us the wisdom to understand your word, Lord, and the words which you have spoken through your word, Lord. Help me to deliver your word, Lord, and give your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. So today we are celebrating the UNISECM and the Youth Fellowship Sunday, and the theme the church has assigned is youth in search of meaning and identity. I'm not really going into the detail of the history of UNISECM and the Youth Fellowship. We all have heard that many times. So I would like to focus on this theme. So that's a very very relevant and interesting theme, with youth in search of meaning and identity. So we'll focus on that. So first, I have just split it into three categories. Basically, we'll just focus on youth, what the Bible says about youth. We'll also look at the man's search for maybe identity and meaning, and what role God plays in all these things. So let's start with youth. I would like to get some inputs from especially from the Youth Fellowship and the UNISECM folks. So these are two organizations catering to people who are in their teens to up to their 40s, right? So that's a big spectrum of people, both Youth Fellowship and the UNISECM together. So what is special about this group? About youth, basically. So youth, you know, they are dreamers, they have the energy, the passion to get things done, they are willing to try. You know, they are not already in a set mold, so God can work through them. You know, they're willing to take risks, they are willing to make mistakes, they have hopefully opportunity to fix their mistakes and then move on, right? Anybody has any other thoughts on what is special about this group? About youth and, or let's say, teens through 40s. Okay. So let's look at what Bible says about youth. So we know that Timothy was a leader in the church of Ephesus. So Paul, Paul made Timothy as a disciple. We see in Acts 16:1-3, Timothy was from the city of Lystra, and Paul took him with him, and then Timothy was with Paul for a long time, and then he writes to Timothy in the first letter of Timothy. That's almost after like 14-15 years after Timothy has been with Paul. So probably Timothy would have been with Paul from maybe around age 15 or 16. And so the first letter of Timothy is being written to is written when Timothy was a leader of church in Ephesus, and he was in his 30s. So Paul says that let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So even though Timothy was in his 30s, we see that Paul is addressing him as youth. And then even though you are a youth, you are to stand up and show your conduct in love and faith and in purity. And even in the second letter to Timothy, which would be probably after a few more years, maybe 3 or 4 years after the first letter to Timothy, we see Paul writing to him to flee the evil desires of youth. So even in the 30s or late 30s, Paul is addressing Timothy, considering Timothy as still as a youth, that he has still a lot of potential and still he would be influenced by the youthful passion, even the evil desires. So Paul is even addressing those things to Timothy, right? And we see that one of our very church fathers, Father Irenaeus, have said 30 is the first stage of a young man's age and extends to 40, as all will admit. So he wrote this probably in the early 200 AD. So what are some of the examples of youth whom God has used mightily from the Bible? So we see the example of Joseph. So we see that in Genesis 41:46 says that Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So Joseph was probably sold by his brothers probably 13, 14 years back. So that would have been around 17 years. And then by the time he became 30 years old, he became second in command to the Pharaoh, basically. And then we also see David. So David, in 2 Samuel 5:4, we see that David was 30 years old when he became king. And he reigned 40 years. So 30 years he became, at age of 30 he became king, and he reigned for 40 more years. And he was probably commissioned as a future king when, probably for almost 15 years prior to that, or even more, like even he was 13 or 14. You know, he was called by God and commissioned as the future king of Israel. And then he went through the process, and at the age of 30, he became the king. So we also see Jeremiah, who is one of the longest reigning prophet. In Jeremiah 1:5-8, we see that, Jeremiah was probably around 17, 18, or maybe 20 years old. So God says that, before I formed you in the womb, I knew. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. So we also see many other examples of, young people in the Bible. We know Mary, when she was called by God, she was probably, less than high school seniors, age of high school seniors. And then we also have the role model of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who also did his ministry in his early 30s. So the point is, God has a big purpose for youth. And he sees a lot of potential in them. And all the youth in this church, God sees in you in a special way. God has a great plan for you, and it's a matter of our willingness to yield to Him and to follow His commandments, that we could really do great things for God. So that's the first part, youth. So second part is search. Right. So, what do we search? Think Google. We normally search for things we don't know, or we want to have some information. We feel that we are missing something, right? So we want that, get information about that. So we do search, and we search in our phone. We use maps to search for directions, right? We need directions. We know where to go, or sometimes we don't even know where to go. We just know that, best restaurants around Metro Detroit area. That's all we ask. So we only know that we need food, but we don't know which one. So So we do search quite often in our lives. We search for, use Facebook to search for friends. You know, we need, relationship or, community, whatever that may be, right? So we do a search when we are missing something, we are lacking something. So from God's perspective, what are we missing? So from God's perspective, in the Garden of Eden, when God gave the, God made everything perfect for the first couple, and everything was available. They had perfect union with God, but because of their sin, man had the fall. So once that relationship was broken, I think humanity is still longing for the true north, basically. Humanity, we try to do many things to fulfill what we are missing. So one of the question here is, what are the ways we try to fill what we are missing? Maybe we buy a car every 2 years, or I don't know, we go for vacations, or we, I don't know. We all know. Actually, we I should not say I don't know. We all know. So I want to go through some of the quotes from great philosophers or religious leaders. So we all know Blaise Pascal. We would have learned Pascal's theorem, Pascal's law. He was a French mathematician. So in Panaceas, he wrote, and this is a very very beautiful quote, actually. It says, "What else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim but that there was once in man a true happiness of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace? This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find in those that are, though none can help. Since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an intimate and immutable object, in other words, by God himself." And we also see Saint Augustine of Hippo wrote in his book Confessions, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." And C.S. Lewis quotes in Mere Christianity, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." And then Jesus says in John 7:37-38, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." So we can try to fill our heart with everything we want, with anything the world gives. We can buy new homes, we can buy new cars, we can go on vacation, we can have friends, we can, go for movies, whatever that may be. We can do everything, but we will still end up having an empty feeling. And now we need to find out how we can fill up this vacuum. So that's where the meaning and identity comes. So what is our identity? We all have identities, right? We all identify with something, right? People may say that, I'm from Kerala, or I'm from India, or, we have different, I'm a Marthamite, or, I went to UFM, or whatever that may, work at Ford, or whatever that may. So we have identity. And we generally tend to associate our identity with something which is better than us, right? If I am better than something, you know, I don't need to identify with that particular thing, right? I could identify just with myself, right? So that's where all this branding and all works, right? We wear the latest brands or carry the latest branded things. So we are associating with that, with us with that brand. So we are always, it's aspirational. We are always trying to associate ourselves with something which is better than us. So let's look at the organizational identity of the two organizations, UNISACM and the Youth Fellowship. So we know that the Marthoma UNISACM was founded in 1933 with a view that all young people in the church should accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord and bear witness to his saving power. So that's identity. There are more things there, but I think this is the crux of it, the identity of Marthoma UNISACM. Regarding the Youth Fellowship, I think you guys need to fix your website. I could not find much information there, but one of the Marthoma, one of the churches in North America had one page dedicated with their mission, vision, and all those things. So I took one quote from there. To be an illustration of the love of God, recognized as disciples of Christ, and lead all people to a life with our Lord. So these are all, I think, you know, as a church, we have identified what really matters. So it has been laid out there for us, and now whether in practice and principle we do that or not, you know, it's something which we need to think. But what is the common theme for both? We see that, you know, God is the common theme. We identify that the purpose, there is no other purpose for these two organizations other than their association with God and the people, right? So we says that we should accept Jesus Christ as a Savior and Lord and bear his witness. So it's for God and people. So that's the purpose of this organization. It's not for, you know, anything else. There could be other things we add to that, but this is the foundation. So now let's look at, so we are trying to figure out what's our true identity. So let's look at what's the identity which God has given us. So in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "For you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So in other words, he has given us identity in order that his identity might be proclaimed through us. God made us who we are to show the world who he is. And again in John 1:12 we see that, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So basically our identity is that we are a child of God through Jesus Christ, right? We can have other identities also. You know, we are, you know, Indian. We are male. We are, or female. Or we are, you know, we went to UFM. Whatever that means. But the greatest identity we should have is that we have been saved by Jesus Christ through the blood which was shed for us on the cross. And it's important because we need to really know the identity, because we need to be sure that our badge works or not, right? You know, most of you, all of us are either studying or working somewhere. You know, we need to get into the facility. You know, you need to scan a badge or show a badge, right? You work for Ford, and then let's say you have a PhD in automotive or whatever that may be, you go to GM with that badge, they are not going to let you in. So we need to be sure that the badge we are carrying, wherever we want to have entry, you know, that is valid over there. There is no point in carrying a badge which doesn't scan and let us in, right? So what can we show as our identity record? Can we just say that, I work at Google, I work at Apple, or maybe I was a prominent member of a prominent church, coming from a prominent family. I don't know. Does those badges get scanned? I think is something which we need to think. So we need to make sure that we have the right badge. So we'll look at some of the scripture verses. So Hebrews 10:19 says that we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. And in Ephesians 1:7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Okay, now to summarize what we have been going through, we need to realize our meaning and identity comes only from God. That is something which we need to really personally think about it and have a deeper understanding about that. No other identity is going to take us to where we really want to go. So this is something which we need to resolve in our present lives. Right, and God is always ready to receive us. God is not somewhere far in front of him, right? He's always there, available, ready to receive us. As he says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. So it's a choice for us. It's God is always there, he's not gonna push us or pressurize us into him. So it's a choice for us, and I pray that we all make the right choice, which is the most important choice we make in our lives. So what are the steps we can take? I think one of the most critical aspects is, we need to come before God humbly. We need to humble ourselves, right? And scripture says in James 4:6 that God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. So we cannot come to God in equal terms. God is not something, it's my back pocket, I need something, he do it for me, if I don't need it, I chill out. So that doesn't work here. So first thing is we need to fall on our knees and understand our weaknesses, and that we cannot save ourselves. That we cannot find true meaning ourselves. We need to come to God and we need to see him as the provider of that provider of the identity and the meaning to our lives. So then, other thing is, we are all busy with work, studies, and things like that. But we need to take some time and study the word and pray, because there is no other way we are gonna know about God. If you want to know somebody, whether it's your friend or family or whoever that may be, the time you spend with that person, the more you know that person. So unfortunately there is no shortcut God has given us, so we have to find time for studying his word and having communion with him. Right. And so I think that those are few of the thoughts which I wanted to share on this UNISACIM and Youth Fellowship Sunday. May God richly bless all of us, and thank you for listening. I think we'll just sing these four lines and then someone can end in prayer. You know, can someone start singing this song? Look full in his wonderful face, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. The light of his glory and grace. Someone can pray.